sermon. Let us start. Oh. Finishing well is the title of the sermon. You don't need to open the Bible because everything's on the screen. You know I love to open the Bible, but there is so many readings. So I thought we should leave on the screen so we could save some time. Otherwise, we would stay here all the way to the next year. Does that make sense? So I want to spare you from that, Leo. That's why I did that. Finishing well. Two scriptures, and then we're going to go for the sermon. And the sermon is nothing else than a recap. We're going to remember all that we learned. And because we are only remembering, I have my notes here, but the notes aside. Whatever I can remember equals what you can remember. Is that correct? Kind of. Okay, good. Let us read these two scriptures first. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, just part A says this: the end of a matter is better than its beginning. We are always very happy for the new. Isn't that true? New house, new job, new salary, new benefits, new government, and we are hyped. But when the government is ended, we are way more... No, I'm joking. But when things finish, it's actually Solomon saying, if we are here today, what does that mean? We finished 2023. It could have not happened. Do you agree with that? It didn't happen for some. But we are here. Better is the end than it's the beginning. So Solomon, sometimes the end is a place where we are sad. And Solomon is saying, see things the right way. The end of things are also a good thing. And attached to that comes what Moses says in Psalm 90. It is not David speaking, it's Moses. And Moses says this: teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And that's what we are doing today. Teach us to number our days. Definitely the Bible is not talking about 1, 2, 3, 4. It is talking about what have we learned so that we can do it different in the future. So that we can keep doing in the future. What the past has taught me that it's going to need for the future. What old Gustavo has learned that it's going to benefit future Gustavo. What old Emmanuel learned in 2023 that it's going to be good for 2024 Emmanuel. So teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So with that being said, we're going to start our recap of the year. And you can pull up the first point, Philippians. Everybody with me, let's see how the memory is. What did we learn this year the most? Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and the last one was Philemon. Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. Why all of these four? Because they have the same situation. Written on the same date, 60 AD, from the same place, the prison. Same writer, Paul. Same circumstances, pressure, persecution. That's why we saw these four letters together in the year. And God was so gracious to us, we start and finish in 1 year. Sometimes those things can get longer and longer and we did in 1 year. So let us bring the first scriptures. Philippians is about joy. There is not one theme. There are many themes, but there is the word joy, rejoice. It's mentioned all the time. Paul wants the Philippians to know that although he is in prison, he is in joy. Although there is persecution, that's not a reason to be sad. We need to keep joy. Because our joy does not come from circumstances. Our joy comes from the Lord. Yes. Okay? So, before we read this, pay attention to this illustration. Very funny. And because it's funny, I hope you remember it. I don't expect you to remember everything. I don't. You're not a computer, you're a human. Okay? But everything we learn, Moses is saying, teach us to count our days, it's stores in us, storage. You know? It remains with us. Few things remain with us and they compound. Knowledge. What I learned this year is going to be compounded to the next year. What I learned in job A, it's going to be applied in job B. Do you agree with me? It compounds. Money also compounds. If you invest money, it compounds for good. If you borrow money, it compounds for bad. Money compounds. And also does shower. If you ask Gustavo, do you shower? And I say, yes. How often? And I'm going to tell you, once per month. Do you think it's going to compound? Oh, very quick. Don't mind the voice. It's my brother translating. We are fancy now. There is live translation here. Don't worry. So, the shower aspect compounds. Always the same thing. Always the same routine. But if you don't do it, nobody comes around you. And if you do it, everybody comes around you, everybody gives you rugs, you look nice, all clean, all tied up. So I do not expect you to remember everything, but I do expect that as soon as we start talking about, those things pop in your mind and you say, I know that. Okay? Everything I'm going to teach us today as a recap, I don't want you to learn. I do want you and expect you to say, I know that. Does that make sense? Because knowledge compounds. Philippians, the goal is joy, the theme is joy. Chapter 2 is the core of the letter. And it says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. What is Philippians teaching us? Do you want to be a joyful person? Forget the new mentality. I need things. Me, me, me. And when we are tired to talk about me, what are we going to do? We're going to talk about me again. In life, it's all about me. If you want to be a joyful person, never do that. If you want to be a joyful person, follow the example of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? He empties himself to fill the others. He, quote, forgets a little bit about himself and he thinks of the others. The more you serve, the more you're happy. He is the ultimate example. And now we're going to see the leader, Paul, as the same example, because he's following Jesus' example. It's our next verse. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm going to live the Apostle Paul, if I am going to wake up, if I'm going to start 2024, I want to do the same way as Jesus would do. I'm going to empty myself to fill the others. I'm not going to think about myself that much. I'm going to think about the others. My goal is to serve. My goal is to love well. My goal is to enrich and help others and add value to the others. And because of this, the Apostle Paul is in prison and he's still joyful, because he knows that circumstances does not dictate his level of joy. His joy is in Jesus Christ. His joy is in the way he's living his life, and he's living it in humility. That's Jesus as our model. That's the leader following Jesus' model. But wait, Emmanuel, I'm coming for you. That's also the congregation. That's our next verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 to 17 says this. Yet it was good of you to share. Everybody with me? Share. Share what? Okay, I was thinking about money. But let's say, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles, my lack of money. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credit to your account. What is the Apostle Paul saying? You are giving me money and you are getting spiritual credit. You are following Jesus' example of emptying yourself and you are becoming joyful. Why? Because things are being credited to you. This is the theme, the great message of Philippians that we started off. If you want to be joyful, be humble. If you want to be joyful, serve. I have a resume. I have a degree. But I tell you, smiling, hugging, being nice to people has opened more doors than all my degrees could give me. I have only one. I sounded like I had so many, right? But I had only one. But the smile opens more doors than the paper. Jesus is humble. Jesus opened doors. So that's the message here. If you want to do a 2024 with joy, serve people well. Amen? You knew that, right? You knew. Nothing new. We saw this year. And then we went to Ephesians. This one we're going to need to spend a little bit more time because it's a little bit more. We need to dig a little bit. But Ephesians is the doctrine of the church. What is not the church and what is the church? Okay? The church, if you ask many people, they always have an answer for the church, even if they are not believers. Therefore, in Ephesians, we need to focus a little bit in what it's not the church. Then we're going to arrive, where is the church? If you clean up the misconcepts, what is going to be left over? The right concept, the right address, the right idea and understanding of what is the church. And Ephesians, this is the final verse we're going to read. It's the final verse of the letter. Chapter 6, 6 chapters. Only the very last verses. It says this: peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Everybody repeat with me, undying love. Good. So, why is this verse very important? We're going to come back to it. What it's not the church. Everybody here is a human being. Raise your hand. Good. For those who are not, we're going to pray at the end of the service. So, human beings need something called social life. I know some people don't like that much, but all of us, we need that. We need people. Okay? What it's not the church? The church is not a social club. You have your family, and maybe you have a lot of kids, and then you have to have a social life, and you need to keep the kids a little bit out of the house because it's too much work. And so you go maybe to the restaurant, to the community center, to the fitness club, to the soccer, whatever place I named, they always have something in common. To be part of that social club, what do you need? You need to pay the fee. Is that right? You need to pay. And then you come to the church. No payments. At the end of the sermon, there is a nice coffee that the Brazilian pastor have made at the end. And you're going to be fed well. Free plus food plus people. Here is my social club I was looking for. Is that the church? No or no? No. That's not the church. So many people go to the church to fulfill a social need. The church is not a social club. Can you say amen to that? Okay. The opposite hand now, not from the aspect of the members, now from the aspect of the institution. We are also not the opposite. We are not a business. Therefore, all the offerings, tithes, and money that it's taken in this church, they are free will. They are donation. They are obedience. I'm not at the door. Tony is not at the door with a credit machine in the hand. I'm not going to give in this sermon 50 ways you can give to us. Credit, debit, mail, cash, I don't know, you name it. I'm not in the business of taking money out of people, so I don't know too many methods. I know there is more of this. So no. This place you give out of obedience to the word of God and out of your heart. There's no auto debit, automatic withdrawal, none of this. You come and you do it, that's it. Because we are not a business. We're not a social club, we are not a business as well. Okay, and obviously you know this one, the church is not the building itself. Because once we leave this place, the church has just left this place. And then now we're going to go to the hospital because we need to visit someone. The church is in the hospital. Now you come to someone else's house to worship the Lord and to enjoy fellowship. Now the church has come to the house. And in a country there is persecution, and they put Christians in the jail, now the church starts to happen in the jail. Because it's not the physical space, it is the spiritual reality of those who were born again. It's me and you. But pay attention to this. People often quote, the church is not the building, the church is No, sorry. The church are people. And that's half true. Because the church is not the building. The church are disciples of Jesus Christ. Every disciple of Jesus Christ is a person. Amen to that. But not every person is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? We are clarifying what is the church and what is not the church. I'm going to illustrate this in two ways. I was reading a book about church planting. And the very first line of the book is this. It is not about church planting. Forget about this. And we are like, you're never going to sell if you start your book about church planting with that line. But the man, he tells us why it is not about church planting. He says, there is no commandment in the Bible that says, go and plant a church. Dig the Bible, search for it, and you're never going to find it. However, there is one commandment that all of us know. Go and make disciples. As soon as you make disciples, the church is planted. The church is born. And his book now, it's for what? To structure that church. Does that make sense? Because the church are the gathering of the disciples of Jesus Christ. So now we need to understand what is the church for three reasons. First, for the disciples of Jesus Christ, who are the church, to not have a misconception of the church. Secondly, for the pastor to not have a misconception of what is the church. And thirdly, and most importantly, for the world outside look to the church and not have a misconception of what is the church. So all of those things that I told you are misconcepts, misideas that we often have about the church when the church is, in good wording, not the building, not a social club, not a business, but it is the gathering of the ones who are disciples of Jesus Christ. And that leads me to my next illustration, Leo. You know when I like to ask questions, I ask to you. Can you believe that people ask me, how big is your church? I can't believe as well. First, I don't know how they think I have a church. I never paid anything for the church. I didn't die for the church. My blood cannot save the church. Only Jesus died for the church. Only Jesus bought the church. Only Jesus' blood has saved the church. But I understand what they are saying. They are talking about Emmanuel. And my answer is numbers. I say we are 40, 50. But you want to know what it would be my actual answer? Do you want to know? Say yes. Otherwise, I'm going to need to say yes. Okay, good. So my real answer would be my church is full. Packed. Full, full, full. And then they're going to say, no, Gustavo, this pill, there is nobody here. Neither this one. And why am I saying my church is full? Because whatever people are here, I'm seeing disciples. 50, 50 disciples. 40, 40 disciples. Mama is understanding. Good. However, what it's very disappointing, it's when we don't understand that. The church is full, not with disciples. There is 100 people, but only 40 are disciples of Jesus Christ. And we are okay to say the church is full when it's not. Does that make sense? Should we start to see the church like Ephesians tells us to see? Should those things hurt the heart of the pastor that I'm seeing a church full without disciples? Because I just think about numbers. Ephesians bring us to this reality. If you, even the pastor, he may misunderstood what is the church. And the church is all about the disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's why these verses are very important. It's the last. It's the final. The cherry on the cake. If you forgot everything I said, Paul is saying, and Gustavo seconds him. If you forget everything about I say about the church, here it is what you need to see. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. This is the church. Not the ones who like Jesus Christ. Not the conservative. Not the ones who have seen the world is too bad, therefore I'm a little bit more safe in the church. No. The ones who love Jesus Christ with an undying love. What is an undying love? I used to love Jesus in 2022. 2023, I need to love him more. 2024, I need to love him more. 2025, I need to love him more. This is undying. It keeps growing. If it goes the other way around, what it's going to start? It's going to start to fade. It's going to start to die. I used to love him back in the days. I used to be committed back in the days. Gustavo, when I was your age. Yeah, when I was single. Yes, when I didn't have family. Yes, all the excuses to tell why our love is fading for the Lord. But who is the church? Those who love Jesus Christ with an undying love. What is the greatest commandment of the Bible? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your understanding, with all your might. And these words shall be in your heart like a treasure. Love the Lord Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your understanding. This is the church of Christ. Ephesians teaches us that. We can go to Colossians. Just a housekeeping, you knew that. Nothing new. We talked about that, right? I know that. I knew that. Colossians. Only two more. Colossians and Philemon. The doctrine of Christ. Ephesians, we see the church. Colossians, we see Christ. Ephesians, we look to the bride. Colossians, we look to the groom. Ephesians, we look to the body. Colossians, we look to the head. Okay? Let us bring the verse. Chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives on bodily form. Can we bring the next one? Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, for Christ is all and is in all. You see that we start saying, make sure nobody takes you captive. Make sure nobody makes you go away from Jesus Christ. Why? Because you remember Colossians have a big problem. False teachers. And the false teaching, it was back in the days of Colossians. And the false teaching and practicing, it's still nowadays. Three, syncretism, legalism, and asceticism. So Paul, it's writing this to face all of those things. What is syncretism? It's what we see so much in Canada today, and even in Brazil. They want to mix religion. Are you a Christian? I am a Muslim. I am an atheist. I am this. And at the end of the day, we are all believing the same thing. At the end of the day, you are not right. I'm not wrong. You're not wrong. I'm not right. It's all the same thing when we mix everything together. Syncretism. This is a large scale, but all of us, we need to take care of our hearts so the little syncretism comes to our hearts. Because all of us were brought, exposed to many things in life. Ideologies, opinions, culture, and those things mix with our understanding of the Bible. And what it's Paul saying? Make sure you keep your opinion, you keep your ideas, you keep your culture, you keep your personal references a little bit far. Let Jesus Christ shape your mind. No to syncretism. Legalism. I told you I shared my heart. I really dislike when people think that legalism equals religiosity. Did I say that right? Religiosity. Was it right? Religion, you know? People call legalism like religion. Oh, Bible, prayer, fasting. Those churches are legalistic. No, no, no. Those churches are biblical. We want our congregation to read the Bible. We want our congregation to pray. We want our congregation to fast. We want our congregation to get Jesus Christ in fullness. We want more and more about Jesus. Those are called the spiritual discipline. Those are not legalism. What is legalism? Everybody point to the head. It's in the mind. It's our tendency. All of us, we have that. We put things on the box. I'm in the church, the box of the church. Therefore, I need to dress well. Therefore, I need to speak well. Therefore, there is no coarse language. As soon as I leave the box of the church, I'm another person at home. As soon as I go to work, I am lazy like everybody. I do the bare minimum like everybody. That's legalism. When you restrict your faith to things, when you are in the church, when you are in the 10:30 to 11:30, when God, Paul is trying to teach us, Christ is all in all. The same guy preaching here should be the same guy at home. The same guy, let's see if Mama understands this. The same guy who serves Emmanuel should serve Mama. Say amen, Mama. You're going to say amen. Amen, good. The same guy who serves you should serve the boss at work. There is no this boxing, legalism. One day it's more holy than the other. One meal more holy than the other. One place, if you go to Jerusalem, God's going to speak to you. Sorry, God speaks in this temple. Not the temple of Jerusalem, this temple. Does that make sense? That's legalism. And finally, asceticism. What is asceticism? Asceticism is that discipline that takes pleasure out of things. In asceticism, Leo, you can never eat to your heart's content. You're going to go down. There is sugar in the food. I don't want it. There is coffee. I don't want it. I drink only water. And I drink only bread. I only survive. I don't wear nice shoes. I don't wear nice clothing. I do not make money. I'm going to live in a monastery. And Paul says all those things sound spiritual, but they cannot do anything for you. Because all of those things are external, and what is human problem? It's at the heart. It's internal. Only Jesus Christ is all in all can resolve the problem we have in our hearts. Not if you avoid something, if you avoid some sugar, if you want to do all of those crazy asceticism things. They sound spiritual, but they lack the power to save people. Bottom line, what is Colossians teaching us? Jesus Christ is sufficient. Jesus Christ is enough. Jesus Christ is God. In Him, the fullness of divinity dwells. Fullness. Not 90%, not 99%. Fullness. And Jesus Christ is the one we should put our faith on. We should lay the foundations of our faith on. That's the message to Colossians. Again, did you know that? Yes, you did. We talked about it. Yeah. And finally, Philemon. Recap of Philemon. Philemon is the picture of the gospel. Let us pull up the scriptures. Philemon 1, verse 17 to 20 says this. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. Last verse. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. For those who are not here during Philemon, or for those who are not too acquainted to Philemon, Philemon is a person, not a church. Philippians is a church, Colossians is a church, Ephesians is a church. Philemon, he is a person. This letter is personal. Okay? And who is Philemon? Philemon is a rich man, believer in Jesus Christ, awesome Christian. And he had his servant Onesimus. Onesimus, his servant, was not a Christian. But worse than all, he was a crook. He defiled Philemon. And he runs away. When he runs away, he was introduced to Paul, the Apostle Paul. Paul preaches the gospel. Paul tells Onesimus about Jesus Christ. And Onesimus gets saved. Everybody with me, Onesimus gets saved. Automatically he becomes a brother. No matter what Philemon wants, automatically, in the eyes of God, Onesimus is now a brother. So Paul sends Onesimus back to Philemon with this request. If you consider me a partner, Philemon, if you consider me a brother, Philemon, you're going to need to get Onesimus back. And you have two options. One, you can do what the Roman law tells you to do. You're going to punish your servant because he did a lawless infliction. Yes? Or what are you going to do? It's go through the law of Jesus Christ. Now there is forgiveness. Now he's no longer your slave. Now he is a brother. Now he's family. It's up to you, Philemon. I do wish that you do the right thing. I do wish you forgive him. I do wish you take him as a family. But it's on you, Philemon. And we know that Philemon did the right thing. He forgave Onesimus. He called Onesimus to his family. And later on, Onesimus became the elder, the pastor of the church of Ephesus. That's how big of a change Onesimus went through. Why is Philemon the picture of the gospel? Because Philemon equals God. Onesimus, the crook, equals Gustavo, who had wronged God and runs away. And now, thanks to God, I met someone who spoke to me about Jesus Christ, and I believed. And once I believed, I was saved, my life was transformed, and now I'm sent back home, no longer as a slave, no longer as a runaway, no longer as a crook, but as a children, a son of God. Now I'm taken to his family. Now I'm in partnership, I'm in communion, I'm in fellowship with God. That's the picture of the gospel. And what is the practical lesson about the book of Philemon? It's in two ways. First, very personal. Onesimus was saved. You remember that. Salvation bears fruit. Onesimus means useful. He once was useless. And once he's saved, his identity is restored. Now he's useful all over again. Now he's saved. He was a robber. He is no longer. He was a crook. He was no longer. He was a trouble. Nobody wanted him at home. But now he is back home because he is no longer a trouble. He is no longer a crook. Everybody, we need to pay attention to this. Salvation, people claiming, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I'm saved. But their lives are just the same. There was no change. There is no fruit. There was no, I was, but now I am. I was a deceiver. I was this, but now I am a son of God. I'm family. Something is off. Every time somebody claims to be saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in him. And therefore, we are expecting to see the fruit of the Spirit. We are expecting a new creation. We are expecting the person to act and behave like Jesus. We are expecting someone who loves Jesus Christ with an undying love and who wants to be like Jesus. Salvation brings fruits. But also, in the other way, the book of Philemon teaches us that Christian life, it's not private. Who likes your privacy? Raise your hand. In Canada, North America, privacy, it's extreme. In Brazil, we are not that private. You go to people's house without telling them. You open their fridge without permission. We do all of those things. Here in Canada, may I come to your house? And that's fine, okay? May I get a ride? Sorry, where are you from? I don't want to offend you. I don't want to offend you. I saw you have some accent. I'm afraid to ask you, where are you from? Don't be afraid. I'm Brazilian, and that's fine. I'm not that private. It's okay. Christian life, it's not that private. Philemon was wronged. Now Philemon needs to restructure his whole family because one person believed in Jesus Christ. His son's going to need to take it to bear Onesimus. His wife's going to need to bear Onesimus. The whole family is going to be changed. Why? Because somebody believed in Jesus. Christian life, it's not this privacy. You know, I love you from afar. I forgive you from afar. You do you, I do me. No, no, no. Christian life, it's not that private. And we need to let the Bible redirect our thoughts. And again, quick question. Did you know that? Yes. We finished conclusion. If you pay attention, Philemon is a good man because he doesn't think about himself, he thinks about Onesimus. How did we start the sermon? What is the message of Philippians? You want to have joy? Do not think about yourself too much. Think about others. And this is probably the conclusion for 2023. In a day and age where we believe that joy could be bought, joy can be go to Mexico, Jamaica, Brazil, yes, I understand. But we think that joy is on a credit card. The Bible is teaching us the opposite. If you're rich or poor, you can be joy. If you travel or not, you can be joy. If you're single or married, you can be joy. If you're a pastor or a member, you can be joy. As long as you understand to have the same mindset and heart of Jesus Christ, who emptied himself to serve. Amen? Amen.